Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to Arborfield Church, particularly if you've not been here before or not been here for a while. It's really good to have you with us. It obviously feels a little bit strange, but what's been lovely over the summer is more and more people have been coming back, and we're actually completely full this week, so we need to be thinking through what we're going to do in future weeks as more and more want to come back as well. But it's great to have you with us. Just a few practical things as we begin. Please remain in your pews until the end of the service, unless you need to use the bathroom. They're open over in the hall, of course. Please do go over there if you need to. Everything you need for the service is on the service sheet, which should have been in the pew where you're sitting. Please keep your masks on. And along with that is the we're not allowed to sing. There are a few bits in the service where we do a sort of responsive thing where I say something and you respond, and you're allowed to speak normally, but not shout or sing it. What some have found quite helpful the past few weeks is humming during the singing. It's great to have some of the Avery family leading our music for us this morning. So either just follow the words or hum along if you want to. You're allowed to hum with a mask on. And just in case there was any confusion following announcements this past week, places of worship, of which we are one, we are allowed to continue. So that rule of six that comes into force tomorrow doesn't affect what we do on a Sunday. As long as we keep our distancing, keep mitigating risk, as we have been doing and will continue to do so, then the good news is that we can keep meeting like this. You'll see from the service sheet that we're going to begin with a bit of scripture, a bit of the Bible. It's from Romans, one of the books in the New Testament, and some wonderful words of promise and confidence, really, written by a chap called Paul. He was a Christian. And this is what he writes. So I'll read the first bit, and then if you want to join in with the words in bold, then please do so. Paul writes this: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or disease or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that wonderful news? Paul, writing as a Christian, he has this confidence because he knows Jesus has done everything that was necessary to mean that he can now never be separated from God. And that confidence actually is reflected in the words of our first song, because it's the confidence is not in what we do or what we might do for God, but in what he has done for us in Jesus and what he has promised to us. So as you remain seated, do follow the words, hum along if you want to, as we listen to "He Will Hold Me Fast."
Thank you.
It's great to have Piers with us this week. He's going to be preaching to us in a little bit, taking us through the next bit of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel is one of the four historical accounts of the life of Jesus when he was walking on this earth. And if you were with us last week, you'll remember that Jesus was teaching us that the problem we all have is not that we have unclean hands. It's not that we didn't use the sanitizer on the way in. It's that we have unclean hearts. But actually, Jesus also says the right response is not to deny this, but actually to confess it to him, asking for forgiveness. And we're very reminded of this great truth as we've just been listening to the words of that song. Knowing that God will hold us fast, it means we can be honest with him. It means we can confess to him those times when we wander from him, when we'd rather let go of him. And we don't need to fear his condemnation, but we can look forward and anticipate his forgiveness. So if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus yourself and you want to join in with the words of the confession there on the sheet, then let us now pray together. God our Father, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you will keep your promise and do what is right. And you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Father, have mercy on us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'll see the next thing on the sheet is our Bible reading. We're not allowed to hand out Bibles, which is why we print the text on the sheet for you. And Zana's going to read that for us and then Piers will come and preach. But before we do that, let's pray and ask for God's help in understanding his word. Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning. We want to thank you for the confidence we have in knowing you will forgive us when we ask. And we want to thank you too for the gift of your word, the Bible. Thank you that you are not a distant God who keeps us guessing what you are like or what you want, but that you speak to us, that you reveal to us something of your character, that you are good and loving and gracious and compassionate and kind and merciful, but also how you want us to respond as your creatures, as those made in your image. So as we turn to your word now, we ask as always that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us understand it and write it on our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So the reading is taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
I wondered if you spotted in that reading the odd one out. There's a picture coming up on our screen of someone who was treated as an odd one out, if I can put it like that. I wonder if you know who that is. You may well not, but it's George Floyd, a black American arrested in the US by a white police officer, and he died as a result of that police officer's actions. It sparked huge protests. Yet again, here was racially motivated violence against black people by white people. Black Lives Matter. We became far more aware of racism in our own country. Racism is that prejudice, that discrimination based on the color of our skin. prejudice exists in many forms. For example, the Me Too movement. It's arisen out of sexual abuse and sexual harassment of women by men. There's prejudice around religious belief. Persecution of Christians by Muslims in the Middle East, of Muslims by Hindus in India. And that sort of persecution flows from prejudice, seeing people as other, as different. And we feel threatened by that. We may well have been on the receiving end of persecution ourselves because of race or sex or religion or something else like disability. Equally, we have our own prejudices, though often blind to them. And you may have thought, as you heard this account of Jesus, that there is prejudice going on here. Jesus' silent response to a woman in dire need. Is he being sexist? Or is he being racist because she's a foreigner, calling her a dog? It all looks pretty ugly, as does any prejudice. But is this the case? Is the kingdom of God about such prejudice? Well, as we look more closely, we might be surprised. We're going to see two things. Jesus is Lord of all, and Jesus has come for all. Geography is important. Taking note of where we are in Jesus' ministry is really significant. It helps us make sense of what's going on. So we read, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And you'll see a map here that is signaling that he's left Israel. He's come out of that green area and he's gone up to Tyre. He's gone up to the coast. And this is non-Jewish territory. This is modern-day Lebanon. And it was considered Gentile, in other words, non-Jewish. The people who lived there were Canaanites. They were the historic enemies of Israel. Different land, different religion. And Jesus meets a local Canaanite woman, evidently someone who knows something about Jesus. She recognizes him as having authority. She calls him Lord. She knows something of his background. Son of David, she calls him. But does she recognize Jesus as the long-promised king of Israel? And she comes in great need, desperate. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And she doesn't stop there. She keeps crying out. She ends up kneeling before Jesus. Lord, help me. All the signs are that she sees Jesus is Lord. Kneeling is that sign of surrender, of worship. She brings nothing except her desperate need, hopeful that Jesus can rescue her, can save her daughter from this terrible suffering. And you see that she's not put off by Jesus' silence at her request. She's not put off by Jesus saying he's not concerned with those who are not of Israel, that he's on a mission to people unlike her. He's not put off by Jesus' put down. If she's a dog, she cries out, well, let the dog have its rations. She is amazingly persistent, and her reward is this: woman, you have great faith, your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. She was right. He is Lord. He is Lord over the demons. Astonishing power and authority. With a word, they are gone. There's no exorcism here. There's no spells or incantations. There's not even any prayer. He is Lord over evil. Satan does not have the upper hand. He is Lord over Tyre and Sidon, not just Israel. His power and authority is not limited to geography. He is Lord. And as you see, as you read on in the New Testament, you see there is nowhere that Jesus is not Lord. He has global authority. He is Lord in Pakistan and North Korea and the United States and China and the UK. He is Lord in your school or university. He is Lord in your workplace and your home. Of course, it may not seem that way. If you're getting a hard time at school because of your friends knowing you go to church, or at work because you say you're a follower of Jesus, as a result, your friends exclude you from their friendship group, or they don't give you the promotion that is due to you. In some countries, of course, they take away your possessions, they lock you up. Open Doors estimate there are 260 million Christians suffering persecution around the world for their faith in Jesus. Is Jesus Lord? Well, yes, he has authority over all the nations of the world, over every human being. The death and resurrection of Jesus proclaims this lordship. And one day every eye will see, every knee will bow before him. And that's so important to hold on to for those suffering for their faith, for those experiencing prejudice and evil of any kind. Jesus will return and right every wrong. He is Lord of all, and he has come for all. He has come for all. If location where Jesus is shows that he is Lord of all, the identity of the woman shows he's come for all. And we're going to see Jesus rich in mercy. That's going to be a lesson for the disciples as much as a lesson for us, hopefully. Look again at Jesus' response and that of his disciples. Look how the disciples treat the woman. Send her away, she's being a nuisance. It says they urge Jesus. You don't want to be dealing with her. After all, she's a Canaanite. She's different. She's not one of us. She's a woman. And Jesus is silent in the face of such prejudice. Verse 24 seems to make the problem worse. He says his mission is to Israel, to the lost sheep. And then verse 26 seems to compound it by inferring that she's a dog. She's unclean. She's not like them. She's different. She's not worthy of being helped. Was Jesus as prejudiced as his disciples? Well, you have to zoom back from this story. You have to think back to where Jesus in Matthew 8 heals the Roman centurion's servant. He would have been outside of Israel, a Gentile. His servant was paralyzed and suffering terribly. There's no prejudice there as Jesus heals him. Or think back to Jesus' birth. Magi, the wise men, come from the east and bow down before Jesus, from the nations. And Jesus is described as the light to the nations. He deliberately, we read here, withdrew to the Gentile region, going to the nations. So what's going on here? Is he prejudiced? Or is he maybe deliberately wanting to expose the ugliness of prejudice, draw out the woman's faith? Does Jesus keep silent so that she keeps crying and pleading and in the end demonstrates great faith as a lesson to the disciples, and to show the ugliness of prejudice and the richness of his mercy? God's plan was always to bring salvation to the chosen people, Israel. That's what we see Jesus doing. But as time goes on, we see Israel not receiving, but rejecting him. And so the gospel goes to the Gentiles, to all the world. So at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And we begin to see this here, and we're going to see more in the coming weeks. What a contrast she is to the Pharisees and teachers of the law that we saw last week. Proud in their ritual cleanliness on the outside. Jesus, you remember, exposed their hypocrisy, how that masked the evil in their minds and in their hearts. Here is this woman, this Gentile, the outsider, what we see in her humble faith. She comes with one plea, Lord, have mercy on me. It's what faith in Jesus is all about, recognizing who we are before the Lord of all. Those in need of mercy and recognizing that God alone can give this mercy. And here is this woman, this one who appears so different, so other, so outsider, so unclean, defiled by her daughter's demon possession. We see Jesus, despite all expectations, in the face of prejudice, coming towards her and bringing her mercy. And this is true for anyone who comes to him, anyone who bows the knee and cries out to him and depends on him and not themselves and asks for mercy. He welcomes them. There is no place for prejudice in the kingdom of God, because there is no prejudice in Jesus. He comes for all, and that should be true for those who follow him. I wonder what you see in this picture here. Oh, next picture. That was the dog eating the crumbs. Yes, sorry, I'd forgotten that picture. Thank you, Andy. This picture here, I suspect you may see a whole lot of serious people, but actually one of the things you see is one black person surrounded by white people. You see difference, you see other. I wonder how often that is how our mindset works with others who are not like us. We so often want to point the finger when we see prejudice in others. We can spot it in them, but can we see it in ourselves? And maybe when we can see it, we don't like it. You see, just think for a moment, if we'll look inside, we don't actually find clean hearts, impure thoughts. We can't hold up our hands and say, not me. The truth is that you and I need Jesus to have mercy on us. And the wonder of the gospel is that no one is beyond the mercy of Jesus. Not you and not me. If we will come as this woman did, Lord, have mercy on me. Let's be quiet for a moment and just reflect on that, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, would you help me, please help us to come to you in humble dependence upon your mercy. Please save us and all those whose sins you have forgiven through the death of Jesus. Help us to see the prejudices in our hearts. Help us to look freshly at the world around us, at those we think are outside the reach of your mercy. Enable us to look on them and to see they are never beyond your rich mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I love this song we're going to sing because it speaks really in response to what we've just heard. God of grace, amazing wonder, irresistible and free, oh, the miracle of mercy, Jesus reaches down to me.
Amazing wonder, irresistible.
So having looked at Jesus and listened to Jesus, and then listened to the words of that song reminding us of his grace to us, we now have an opportunity to respond, where we're allowed to actually speak. So if I can invite you to stand up, we'll say the creed together. Two things just to point out on this. First is that it reminds us of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. But also you'll notice the language is the we. Part of the wonderful thing of being able to meet together week by week is that we can say these things together. And so if these words are true for yourself, then please do join with me as we say together the creed. We trust in God the Father, who has revealed his love and kindness to us, and in his mercy saved us, not for any good deed of our own, but because he is merciful. We trust in Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to free us from our sin and set us apart for himself, a people eager to do good. We trust in the Holy Spirit, whom God poured out on us generously through Christ our Saviour, so that justified by grace, we might become heirs with the hope of eternal life. Amen. Please do take a seat, and Patricia is going to lead us in a time of prayer.
I'm going to finish each prayer with the phrase, Lord, help us, if you'd like to respond with Amen. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. Father God, give us clear vision. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and protect us from viewing our sin like it is a small thing. Help us to see the damage it does to our relationships with one another and with you, Lord. When we come to you, let it not be to try to excuse our sin or justify ourselves. Instead, let the full enormity of our self-serving hearts be obvious to us. Give us clear vision. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and protect us from viewing your character dimly. Help us to see your majesty, your holiness, and also your enormous love for us, your grace, your desire to pour out blessings on us, the extent of your mercy. When we come to you, help us to remember that you did not spare your own son. When the Holy Spirit reveals to us the reality of our hearts, fill us with a clear picture of the complete sufficiency of Jesus' sacrifice. Help us to have confidence that we are not only completely forgiven, but that you want to shower us with blessings. You will give us all things. Help us to find genuine joy in your beautiful mercy towards us. Lord, help us. Amen. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Matthew 15:22-23. Father God, we are surrounded by people who are in great need of your mercy. This can come out in so many ways. They need to hear the gospel, and they need support in their physical and mental suffering. We confess that too often we have hearts like the disciples, wanting to ignore their plight, to block our ears and send them away. Our hard hearts might result in us dodging the subject instead of pursuing a spiritual conversation with a colleague, or it might come out by us refusing to catch the eye of a homeless person, or switching the TV over when an advert for a charity comes up. Help us to identify with those around us, to recognise we have nothing to recommend us in ourselves. And even if the exact circumstances of our lives are different, we too only have hope because of your mercy. Lord, we are limited and finite and in no position in our own strength to help anyone. But amazingly, you do use us as instruments in your hands, Give us merciful hearts, which copy Jesus. Help us to have wisdom about who we can help and how. Protect us from compassion fatigue and help us to be prayerful. Bless the work of the Mercy Ministry team and help them to have wisdom, compassion, and great communication skills as they investigate ways we can most effectively support those in need around us. Lord, help us. Amen. Lord, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, Hebrews 10:22-23. Father God, as we contemplate our sin and our tendency to lack mercy to those around us, it is easy for us to get eaten up by guilt. Thank you that Jesus did not come to heap burdens on us, but to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Free us from being motivated by guilt. Fill our minds with reminders of your promises and help us to know you, the promise keeper, more and more deeply, so we can serve you with a sincere heart and full assurance. Lord, help us to be full of mercy to one another, humility in ourselves, and enormous gratitude and joy because of Jesus. In our first hymn, it said, "Those he saves are his delight." Your word tells us, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." Lord, fill our hearts with joy as we remember you delight in us. Help us to hold in tension that truth of our great need of mercy and our great worth in your eyes. Lord, help us. Amen. Jesus lovingly instructed his disciples how to pray, and he will lovingly instruct us today. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Patricia, thank you. As our service draws to a close, let me just flag up a couple of notices. They're there on the back of the service sheet. Our growth groups, these are our midweek meetings. They're starting up again as school term is underway as well. Daytime and evening groups, mainly on a Wednesday. If you're in one, do contact your growth group leader to find out what's happening this Wednesday. It looks like we're back on Zoom for pretty much all of it. And if you haven't joined a group but would maybe like to, then have a word with me after. I'll be outside and we can chat through what that might look like. They're very, well, I think they're quite fun, but you spend time looking at the Bible together. We'll be looking at this passage again. Good opportunity to ask any questions that you still have or raise any thoughts on it. And then you get an opportunity to share how you're going and get to pray for one another. Seems like a good thing to be doing. So growth groups this week. And then for the Women's Book Club, which is this Thursday, and then the Women's Evening as well. Where's Alison gone? Alison's at the back there waving. Do you have a word with Alison outside? She'll be able to tell you all you need to know. That brings us to the end of the service. It's great to be reminded, isn't it, of who Jesus is, that he is Lord of all. There'll be times this week where we think maybe Jesus can't do it. Well, we're reminded, of course he can. He is Lord of all. And there might be times where we think, well, Jesus won't do that. He won't do that for me. But actually, he came for each and every one of us. He is Lord of all. He came for all. And that is very good news indeed. Let's finish by saying the words of the grace together there at the bottom of the service sheet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.